And just for those who maybe don't know fully what ruqya is the treatment of sicknesses and afflictions through the recitation of the Quran, the names of Allah, and the authentic dua and adhkar which are reported from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And ruqya can be used for any kind of sickness and affliction. Anything for which you wish a cure. Whether it is psychological, whether it's mental, whether it is physical, whether it is medical, whether it is jinn or sihr or ayn, the evil eye, or magic, whatever it is, whatever has happened, al-hasad, jealousy, whatever has afflicted you, ruqya can be a cure. And it is the most powerful, or one of the most powerful tools against magic and the magicians. Bi-idhnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. If you seek the right method, then it can be a cure. When I say self-ruqya, I mean ruqya that does not involve a professional qari or reciter or raqi or whatever it is. You don't go to anyone or bring anyone to the house. Ruqya, you do it on yourself. Or if you can't do it on yourself, a family member does it on you. Any of you who have an affliction will realize that treatment is usually significantly long. Proper treatment is usually a long time. Not always. Some people get cured in an hour, some people in a day. But a lot of people go on for a number of months, and some of them for years, of needing regular treatment. You won't find a raqi who has that much time for you. They'll give you 10 minutes every month. Or they'll give you, you know, like ruqya jama'iyya, where they just put you in a room with like 50 other people and read on you at the same time. They won't give you the attention you need. They won't give it to you, the attention you need, because at the end of the day, nobody has that much time to give to that many people. Now, I'm not saying you should never, ever, ever go to a raqi. Sometimes only there's a place for it. But where do I want you to start? I want you to start with ruqya on yourself and ruqya within your family. This is the sunnah, by the way, generally. But the better and the way that is better for your iman and better for your nearness to Allah and better for your cure is self-ruqya. In addition to all the stuff we've already mentioned. Now, I want to be clear that ruqya means actually reciting the Quran, not playing ruqya audio. You can use ruqya audio to supplement your ruqya, like you can put it in your ears to listen to, but it does not count as ruqya. Listening to people reciting ruqya recorded does not count as ruqya, ikhwan. Do it as a supplement, as a, you know, an extra bonus, but it's not ruqya. What are you going to do? First thing you're going to do is purify your intention. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His help and His aid.
Make sure that you tell the patient, make sure that you tell the mahram, make sure that you tell your ruqya partner. Do not play on your phone, do not talk, do not come in and out of the room needlessly. Make sure that when the Qur'an is recited, that the people are listening.
And you're going to begin, of course, by saying أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, or one of the authentic similar words to that, similar isti'adha, seeking refuge with Allah from the shaitan. And you're going to begin بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Every single day, a minimum of 45 minutes. That is a minimum. Now, someone may say, is that from the sunnah? And I will say to you openly, no, it is not from the sunnah. There is no time limit in the sunnah. However, this is just from experience of what I believe is practical. A minimum of 45 minutes reading. In that 45 minutes, you should read Surah Al-Fatiha. Either you can read it one time, or you can read it three times, or you can read it seven times. Or you can read it a random number of times without aiming for a fixed number, because there is a sunnah for one and three and seven, and there is the rest you can do, but just don't give it any other number. Like, don't say I do it 10 times every time, like just as much as you like. If you wish, you can repeat an ayah, like repeating إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, as some of the scholars used to do. Whenever you wish, you may blow with spittle or without. You may blow in your hands, put them on the person. You may read while holding the person. You may read into the person's ear. You may read and blow after every ayah, after every surah, after every page. What there is no, you know, like you do whatever you wish within the limits of what the sunnah allows. Now this leads us to the second issue, which is when you are reading to a non-mahram, you know, men over a woman and she's not your mahram. This requires three extra precautions. Number one, the presence of a mahram. If there is no mahram at all, then at least the presence of another sister. And that other sister's job is to, all physical contact doesn't get done by you. Precaution number two, you are further than arm's length away from her, so that you can't get touchy-feely by accident. And generally, I prefer to recite upon a sister from behind her head, from the back of her head. Because this means I don't have to worry about looking at her. I do not want to be in her face. She's in her proper full hijab, and you're reading from behind her. Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Qul ya ayyuhal kafirun. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. قل أعوذ برب الفلق قل أعوذ برب الناس. That's all basically that I want you to read inside of the 45 minutes minimum time.
Now, at this stage, the patient may be sitting there and there's nothing wrong with them whatsoever. Does this mean there's nothing wrong with them? Does this mean there's no sihr? Does this mean there's no jinn or evil eye? No. It does not mean any of that. It does not mean any of that. Sometimes you will recite Surah Al-Fatiha. By the time you get to إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, this person is having a fit. But sometimes you will have recited everything that we've mentioned, and subhanAllah, there appears to be no reaction, no apparent reaction. Again, ya ikhwan, this does not mean that there is no jinn present, there is no sihr, there is no evil eye. It's extremely important to mention this.
And there are many, many du'as that you can make. But for example, from among the du'as that you can make, Allahumma rabban nas adhhib al-ba's washfi anta ash-shafi la shifaa'a illa shifaa'uk shifaa'an la yughadiru saqam. From the du'as that you can also make is to say Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wala fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul 'alim. From the du'as that you can make are the du'as that start with a'udhu bi kalimatillah, and there are maybe four. A'udhu bi kalimatillahi tamma min kulli shaytanin wa hamma ومن كل عين لامة أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من غضبه وعقابه ومن شر عباده ومن همزات الشياطين وأن يحضرون أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. And maybe there are more. However, when you're reading these for yourself, you say أعوذ. And when you are reading them on someone, you say أعيذك. U'idhuka for a man, and u'idhuki for a woman, and u'idhukum for a group. U'idhuk instead of a'udhu. A'udhu means I seek refuge. U'idhuk means I seek refuge for you, from Allah, for you, on your behalf. You are welcome to read any other part of the Quran that you wish, but after the 45 minutes has expired.
The reason why the jinn got in your body in the first place, because you don't pray, because you don't keep up with the adhkar. If you want the jinn, that Satan, to leave your body, you have to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's something that you have to tell the sick person. You have to pray five times, you have to keep up with the adhkar. This is the only way you're gonna come out of this. But if you go back to your old ways, following your desires, not praying five times, I'm sorry, no one can help you.